This is Alive with Joseph.
So let's get into scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 to 8, I read, it says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am not better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around. There by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Amen. So we're looking at what our title, Build Strength for the Journey. Build strength for the journey. As we embark on the next 6 months, the 6 days prayer and fasting is designed for us to build strength. It is designed to radicalize us for the next 6 months and preserve and prepare us for all that the Lord will be doing. So we are looking at what to do to build spiritual strength for the journey. Let's look at what to do to build spiritual strength. So let's begin with the following concepts. And the concepts are, number one, great destination requires great preparation. Great destination requires great preparation. For example, if you're traveling from here, from this point, from the church here to Savannah or to Mall of the North, you don't need to pack any suitcase. If you're going from here to Mall of the North, you don't need to pack any suitcase. But if you're leaving from here to Johannesburg or to Durban, you are going to stay for a while, you will need to pack a suitcase, but not too much, because you're going to Joburg or you're going to Durban. But if you're traveling from here to Europe, to America, to Asia, or any other part of African country, and you're going to stay for some time, you don't go casually. You take your time to pack everything. You pack properly, because great destination requires proper preparation. Great destination requires proper preparation. You pack properly, because so many things, you will need to put them, you know, as you go, because you know if you get there and you do not have those things, you may not even know where to get them. But if you get to Joburg and you don't have certain things, it's the same shop you find in Polokwane, you will find in Johannesburg. So it will be easy to replenish and replace whatever you missed while you are packing. But if you're going beyond the shores of the nation, you will have to pack properly, or else you may have problem when you arrive at destination. So it is the destination you have in mind that determines the preparation you embark upon. That is, your destination decides your type of preparation. Your destination decides your type of preparation. You're going to Mall of the North from here. You don't need to pack anything. You just get into your car and you get there. But if you're going beyond Mall of the North, then you will need to pack properly. Number two, a mega building will require a solid foundation. If you see any building, any skyscraper that is mega, any building that is mega, you see all the skyscrapers, the foundation of that building is solid and big. Because if the construction of that building is to be great, then the foundation has to be strong. If you want to build a tent, you don't even need a foundation to build a tent, isn't it? If you want to build a tent, just put the steel, the whatever it is, the poles on the ground, nail them and tie the rope and all of those things. But if you need to build a big building, it will require a solid foundation. If you are building a structure, a skyscraper, it requires solid foundation. Some buildings, they will tell you that the foundation actually took more money than the actual building itself. Because to keep the building standing and solid, you will need to put proper foundation. You will need to put proper foundation to keep the building solid and standing. So if you want to build a tent, you don't need a foundation. But if the structure of your life and destiny must be great, then the foundation must be great as well. So, mega building requires a solid foundation. Number three, mighty trees have deep roots. Mighty trees have deep roots. That is, any tree that must be mighty, its roots must be heavy. If the tree must be big, then the roots has to be deep and strong. It is deep and strong roots that sustains big trees. It is deep and strong roots that sustains big trees. Any tree that must be big must have deep and strong roots. Jesus had 30 years preparation for just a ministry of 3.5 years. He had 30 years preparation for a ministry of 3 years and 6 months. Take note of this, under mighty trees having deep roots. Number one, number 3A, let's put it this way, 3A, roots determines rise. Roots determines rise. Your root will determine how you rise. Your roots will determine how you are. Number two, your root determines the size. The root determines the size. That is, no tree can have size by accident. Neither can any tree rise by mistake. No tree can have strength or size, rather, by accident. It is the root that determines how high a tree can rise. And how big the size of a tree is also determined by the root. The root is what decides how big the size of that tree can be. Listen, you cannot put a mango tree on a corn root. You cannot put a mango tree on the root of a corn. The root of millet. You cannot place the mango tree on the root of a millet. Neither can you take the heavy head of an elephant and place it on the neck of a chicken. It will never work. You cannot take the heavy head of an elephant and place it on the head of a chicken. And if you do not build strong roots, you may not be able to have mega building. So the size of any building is determined by the roots. They're determined by the root. Number 3C, take note, roots determines growth. Roots determines growth. Number 3D, roots determines expansion. Roots also determines expansion. Number 3E, roots determines influence. Number 3F, roots determines the fruit. You cannot get an orange fruit from a tomato root. You cannot get an orange fruit from a tomato root. That is, to know what kind of a root a person have, check out the fruit they have. Your root is what decides the kind of fruit you bring out. You cannot get, you know, a mango fruit from a pepper tree or from a pepper root. It's not possible. So the root is what decides what kind of fruit that comes out. And understand that giant results are the products of giant roots. Every time you see mega results, they are products of giant roots. No dwarf root can give you a mega result. No dwarf root can give you a mega result. No dwarf root can give you a mega result. That is why the next 6 days of this prayer and fasting is very necessary, because it is time for you and I to take roots deep because of the mega result we are about to see manifest in the second half of the year. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So fasting is us taking roots deep. Prayer time is us taking root deep. We're dedicating the 6 days to making sure that we take roots deep. We take roots deep so that we can be able to accommodate the thing that the Almighty God is bringing our way. Now, why are we fasting? Fasting, understand, is a compulsory part of the believer's curriculum. It is a compulsory part of the believer's curriculum. We fast always. The Bible makes it clear to us when Jesus was speaking, he said, when you fast. So fasting is something we do always. And what is fasting? Fasting, it is you abstaining from food for a certain period of time to seek God, and also starving yourself from distraction in order for you to seek God. It is you abstaining from food for certain time, certain number of time or period of time to seek God, and also being able to starve yourself from all forms of distraction in order to seek God. Why do we fast? There are so many reasons why people fast. People fast for religious reasons. People fast for health reasons. And this morning we are fasting in this season for spiritual strength and also for a purpose. We are fasting for spiritual strength for a purpose. We are not fasting religiously. Neither are we fasting for health, in as much as that can help you as well during the course of your fast for your health. But our goal is we are fasting for spiritual strength. We are fasting for spiritual strength. We are fasting for spiritual strength. Now, this is where, now, when we fast for a purpose, it is where a fast is declared with a clearly defined purpose and well-stated objectives. And that is the fast you and I are embarking upon right now. When we study the book of Esther very well, you will see that Esther declared a 3 days fast. The purpose of that fast was to stop the aggression of Satan that was targeted towards her people to extinct them. So she ordained that fasting, prepared that fasting so that she could nullify the attack of the wicked that was channeled towards her people. So when you fast for a purpose, you have an agenda. That is why in a time of fasting like this, before the fasting begins, you write down the things you are expecting from the Lord. You write down the things that you are expecting from the Lord. You write down the things you are expecting from the Lord because you have a purpose, you have an objective, you have a target, and you want to make sure that the strength of that fast is channeled towards your objectives. Now, how do you maximize this fasting period, this 6 days fasting period? What do you do to make the fasting effective? Number one, you pray extensively. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray extensively. This is one time that you must pray extensively. You start with the morning prayers by 5 a.m. You do not stop there. Your lunch time, you take it out to pray. You pray as often as you can. Pray extensively. You pray, you know, underneath your breath while you're in a meeting. You pray extensively. Pray extensively because it is prayer and fasting, not abstinence from food only. It is prayer and fasting. Without prayer, it is your own hunger strike. Without prayer, you are on diet. It is prayer and fasting, not abstinence from food. So when you are fasting and there is no prayer, you are only on a diet or you are only on a hunger strike. The Bible said concerning Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. I set my face to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So it is prayer that gives value to the fast. It is prayer that gives value to fasting. Because what is the use of a rifle in your hands, or what is the use of an AK-47 in your hands without bullets in it? What is the use of a shotgun in your hand without bullets inside the gun? So the fast is like the gun, but the bullets are the prayers. So the fast is to humble the flesh so that the spirit man can be alert to pray. And not just to pray, but to be able to pray abundantly. So when you pray extensively during a fast, the fasting produces results. It produces results. The reason why many people's personal prayer, personal fasting time does not produce results is because they do not pray extensively. They are busy watching the time. When will the fasting be over? They already started cooking. Even by 12 noon, they have prepared what they will cook to eat. And the fasting is still so many hours. Because why? For them, they are just abstaining from food, nothing else. So you pray extensively. Without prayer, fasting is a waste of time. Or rather, let's put it this way. Without prayer, you are just on a diet. Hallelujah. So when you pray extensively during a fast, the fasting produces results. Hallelujah. Number two, load up with the word of God. Load up with the word of God, or load yourself up with the word of God. Consume more than normal the word of God. Don't leave your spirit man empty. Fill it up with the word of God. Allow the word of God to abide in you richly. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Technology has made it easy for you and I to be able to load ourselves up with the word of God. You can be driving and the Bible is playing whilst you are driving. We all should have the Bible app in our phones. And the good news is the Bible app is available in all across every platform. The Bible app is there. So technology has made it possible for you to be able to consistently listen to the word of God and also listen to the teachings. We have podcast. Go to the teaching podcast. Go download the podcast. You don't even have to download. Play them straight. You know, go listen. The podcast is available. The teachings are there. Load up yourself with the word of God. Load up yourself with the word of God. Load up yourself with the word of God. You're driving from here to the mall. Before you know it, you have read 5 chapters of the Bible. And the book of Ephesians is about six chapters. You've loaded up. You've read so many chapters of the Galatians is six chapters. You've read six chapters of the Bible just like that. Load up with the Word of God. Listen to the teachings. The podcast is not there for fun. Go listen to them. The podcast is for free. Listen to them. Play them. All those times you're listening to social media lies and social media commentators who have nothing even happening in their own lives. Take that time to listen to the Word of God. Listen to scriptures. Listen to teachings. Listen over and over and over and over again. So load yourself up with the Word of God. You're driving to the office. You're going to anywhere. Go to the church podcast. Listen to teachings. Set yourself on fire before you enter your office. Set your spirit man alive before you enter the office. Ignite your heart before you enter the office. Don't just, enter the office anyhow. Don't enter casually. Load up with the Word of God. Load up with the Word of God. There are some believers who fast, no prayer, no word. They fast, they have no prayer time, no Word of God time. They are just waiting for the time for them to break their fast. Just waiting for the time for them to break their fast. This is the time to limit distractions. This is the time to limit distractions. Number three, be fruitful or bear fruits that will remain. Bear fruits that will remain. Jesus tells us to go bear fruit that remains. Evangelize, evangelize, evangelize. We should not have any service where we don't have a new person. We should not, it's an indictment on every one of us, including me. We should not have any service where we ask, is there any new people in the service today? And nobody raises their hands. And you and I are seated comfortably. We should be very uncomfortable. We should be very uncomfortable because it's an indication that we are not bearing fruit. And when we're not bearing fruit, the church is not growing. And if the church is not growing, before you know it, any water that is stagnant smells. We need to reach as many people as you can. You need to ask yourself, how many people did you reach this week? Did I do that? Let me not do that. How many people did you speak to this week? How many people passed you by this week? Did you speak to them about Jesus? You must bear fruit. Listen, friends. These are the things that we knew as newborn again Christians. I got born again in 1991. And that's when I got born again. Our goal was to win souls. Our goal, we live in a generation where the kind of Christianity some of you receive, I don't know where you got it from. This weak Christianity where a believer has nothing to do with evangelism. A believer has nothing to do with prayer. A believer has nothing to do with fasting. You see a believer, there's no difference between a believer and unbeliever. When I got born again, 1991, do the maths, 1991, I got born again. Me and my friends, we challenge each other on how many souls to win. We challenge each other. To the point where I've shared my story with you. I will preach inside the bus. The first time I preached, I used to stutter. I used to stammer. And I couldn't open my mouth. When I opened it, like my throat hung. I went back. I cried to God. God, no, you can't do this. And before you know it, I started preaching in the bus, going to school, touching, winning souls. When I got born again, the first thing they tell you is to show that you are not born again. On the street where you live, start evangelizing. That was the first assignment. Everybody must know you're born again. Some of you, even your family member, don't know you're born again. Let's not even go to your street. Your family member. I started evangelizing. I remember when I would evangelize to some of my friends who are not born again, then they'll be looking at me, they'll be laughing. The way they'll laugh at me, eh? But thank God, those were radicalizing me. It made me more, more stubborn towards making sure that the kingdom is preached. We shouldn't have any service where there's no new person. Is an insult to redemption. It's an insult. We should not have any service. Be it first service, they say it's cold. No. It's cold. Go to the mall. Go and see people filled up there. It's cold. As cold as it is, there are people loitering around the mall, going into one shop or another, spending money they don't have. It's cold. Go to the restaurant. Go to Wimpy right now. You see people seated at Wimpy having breakfast. Go to Morgan Bean. You see people seated there having coffee. So it's not called, let's bear fruit. Time of fasting beyond, it's time to bear fruit. Jesus said, John 15, verse 7 to 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The evidence that you and I are disciples of Christ is that we're bearing fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, then we are not disciples of Jesus. Evidence that we're disciples, that we're bearing fruit. So this time around, challenge yourself this week that by the time this fasting is over, you will have one minimum of one soul to Christ. Minimum, one. Minimum. Speak to someone about Jesus. Speak to someone about Jesus. Speak to someone about Jesus. Listen, friends, we cannot expect God to only be interested in what interests us without us also being interested in what interests God. The souls of people interest God. And doing this is you making sure that this fasting period is a complete spiritual exercise. It's a complete spiritualist. The time you're using to put all kinds of gossip and fighting people on your WhatsApp status, can you just minimize the fight this week? Can I beg you? Minimize the fight this week. Amen. Put Jesus on your status. You put certain things, you're hoping that people you are fighting can see it. Newsflash, they didn't see it. Put Jesus on your status this week. Put the fasting, put the prayer time there. Put the prayer time there. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise. Amen. This season, be spiritually aggressive, making sure that the second half of this year delivers to you and I maximally and accordingly. Number four, be expectant. Have expectation of direction, the revelation, and manifestation. Have expectation of direction, revelation, manifestation. Have expectation of direction, revelation, manifestation. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say. To watch to see what he will say. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. The place of fasting and prayer is the place of watching. So you are expecting direction for the next 6 months. What is God saying? What is God showing me? What is God revealing to me? Where is God directing me to? What does God want me to do? Listen, friends, be sensitive to divine signals in these 6 days. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Sleep with expectation, because a night vision could erupt in your sleep time. It could erupt in your spirit while you're sleeping. Study with expectation, because something can drop from scriptures that illuminates your entire life. Remember, it is still our year of light. It is still our year of light. So be expectant that the light of God will shine in your heart in these 6 days. That the light of God will shine in your heart. Listen, friends, if you are not in expectation, it is easy to miss what is yours. If you are not in expectation, it will be easy for you to miss what is yours. And I pray for you, may you not miss what is yours in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. Number five, approach God in faith. Come in faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Understand that you are not wasting your time as you're fasting and praying. Don't allow the devil sell a lie to you that your fasting is not working, that you're fasting in vain. Don't refuse that. Reject that lie. Reject that. Reject all the voices all over the place. You people are fasting again in that your church. You're always fasting. You're always praying. Rebuke that spirit. Say, you foul devil, come out. And you will see manifestation. I'm telling you now. Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter, Apostle Peter. Peter coming to, it looked like what Peter was saying was nice. But yet Jesus saw beyond Peter that it wasn't Peter that was speaking. It was the devil speaking through him. Hallelujah. Be expectant. Approach God in faith. Don't let anybody tell you that you're fasting in vain or you're fasting too much. Tell them I've been eating too much as well. Do you know the amount of food we consume in our country? We are consumers, I tell you. So let it be a time where you're telling yourself, you know, this fasting is not in vain. Reject the lie of Satan to want to dampen your faith, to want to discourage you. Reject the lie. How you're praying too much. Prayer is not everything. Prayer is everything. Prayer is everything. You know, there's a clip I saw sometime on social media, sometime last week, you know, of this white guy. He's a white guy. He's a top business guy talking about the power of prayer and spirituality in doing business. I'm looking for, if I find it anytime, I will download it and play it for you. A top business guy talking about the power of fasting, power of prayer in doing business. Talking about how top business people, they employ the element of the spirit. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody dampen your faith. Tell yourself, this time it must work for me. It might not have worked before now. It must work for me. It must work for me. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. Don't let anybody sell a lie to you. Commit your heart. Commit your heart to the time of prayer and fasting. Commit your heart to it. Listen, friends, there's something that fasting does that no any other spiritual exercise can do. The only way the flesh is subdued is through fasting. We live in a generation, a comfort generation, that now try to use scriptures to manipulate themselves and say, you know, Jesus has already fasted for us. Which Jesus fasted for you? You see, we're in the days of grace. What kind of what hogwash is that? Paul said, I fasted often. In fastings often. Actually, when Paul had an encounter with Jesus, the first thing he did was fasting. Remember, he didn't eat or drink anything. 3 days. 3 days dry fast. He didn't eat or drink anything when he had an encounter. He first, as he was being called into ministry, he started with fasting. Are you understanding me? Look at your neighbor, tell them, make sure you are fasting this week. Look at them very well so that during the week you look for them. Look into their eyes. Make sure you find them during the week. Because during fasting, some people behave as if they are no longer members of the church. That's when they suspend their membership. Even when they see me in the mall, they just pass me by and do as if I saw you. If you like, hide, I saw you. Amen. So it's a time to fast. Approach God in faith. Come in faith. Come in faith. What are the advantages of fasting? I give you quickly some of them. Number one, fasting changes you. Understand that when you fast, you are the one that changes. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes you. Fasting is not intended to change God, actually, and it is not intended to twist the hand of God. Fasting changes you. Fasting changes. The same way prayer doesn't twist the hand of God, prayer changes you. When someone begins to pray, the first thing that happens is they are the ones who become the first recipient of the prayer they are praying. They are changed. So fasting changes you. Take note of that. Number two, fasting positions you. And the second advantage of fasting, it positions you. When you fast, it positions you and aligns you with what God has prepared to do. Fasting gets you into proper positioning. Most believers are wrongly positioned because of lack of fasting, because of lack of prayer. And listen, friends, wrong positioning will make you miss out. Wrong positioning can create delays. When a believer is wrongly positioned, things can delay in their life. Things can delay. The reason why you see some believers experience delays sometimes is not necessarily the devil attacking them directly. It is the devil making sure that they are wrongly positioned. Wrong positioning can hinder growth. It can hinder you from receiving what is already yours. So fasting helps to position you. It positions you. It aligns you. It aligns you. There are things that you will not come into except by fasting and prayer. Except by fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. It positions you. It just realigns you. So many years ago, we shared our testimony with you when God began to deliver us from poverty. I remember my wife, you know, used to work with all her degrees and all of those who used to work, and we got into the first 40 days fast. Finish. I knew that something broke, but sometimes it just, you know, it's as if the door just opened a little bit. I entered into the second 40 days, only drinking water and juice. No fruits even. Only drinking water and juice. By the next 40 days, by the time it came to an end, it's as if the door just shattered open. Whatever from my father's side, whatever from my father's side that was coming to have, you know, a marital union over our destiny, it was broken. The one coming from my father's side, they were about to come and have, an old boys' school association gathering over our life and destiny and our children. The devil is a bastard. It broke. Positioning. Fasting had to position her file. As they went to carry files, one of their top managers from the head office, as they carried files and they were moving, her file just fell on the ground. And the man picked it. And they opened. They said, where is this person? And at that time, FMB was having, they were reforming the organization, trying to meet up with the BEE and all of those story, trying to get as many top women into the top management. And here they saw her degree. They said, where is this person? They said, she's a teller. Teller, call her here. With all this degree, she's tellering. And they brought her in. And that was how her story changed. That was how her story changed. From being a teller in Palabora, by the next month, she became the provincial human capital consultant. She was now managing the branch managers who used to be her bosses. Positioning by fasting. Positioning. Let's give Jesus praise. If we are not fasted that fast, I tell you, she will have died a teller. I'm telling you. And by that move, God began to move us into greater purpose and assignment into the city of Polokwane. That's how we entered into Polokwane and with what God is doing today. So fasting positions, there are many of you, the enemy is sitting on your file, sitting on it very well, making sure that those who should see it are not seeing it. But I pray for you, on the wings of these 6 days, those who need to sue you will see you in the name of Jesus. I said they will hear of you in the name of Jesus. Number three, when you fast, your spiritual capacity increases. We live in a world that is full of all kinds of pollution. Daily, our souls is battling to survive the onslaught of pollution that is in our world today. And because of this pollution, many believers, their spiritual capacity has diminished. Capacity has diminished. What fasting does is to help clean us up. Clean up the pollution and also increase our spiritual capacity. Satan likes it when the believer lives a life of gluttony. He likes it. When a believer lives a life of gluttony, he likes it. He likes it. And the discipline of fasting, the devil doesn't like it. He doesn't want believers to engage in the discipline of fasting. Because the easiest way to mortgage your destiny is through living a life of gluttony. When anybody lives a life of gluttony, they mortgage their destiny. When anybody lacks spiritual discipline, they mortgage their destiny. Listen, friends, when you are full of food, you will feel heavy to pray. When you are full of food, you feel heavy to pray. I don't have to tell you how nice food is. You know how nice food is. So that's not my assignment to teach you. You know. Haven't you noticed, no matter how poor a person is, they will have money for food. Amen. So you and I need to prepare ourselves. When you fast, your spiritual capacity increases. Fasting disciplines you. Fasting disciplines you. It humbles the flesh. I'm yet to see any believer who lives a fasted life who is ordinary. No believer who lives a fasted life who is ordinary. Things will come after them, but they will always overcome. They walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They will fear no evil. Because there's something about fasting that aligns you in the realms of the spirit. It aligns you. It somehow aligns you. It aligns you. I was preaching for a pastor friend last week. And they said, what are the kind of food you like? I said, Tommy, tell them, no food. Bananas only and water. And I went with my own nuts. And that. Got to the other place, the other pastors, they prepare food for them. And the plate thing was smelling. In my nose, it was smelling like poison. Honest, I'm being honest with you now. I said, no food. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone. Isn't this thing that 6 a.m. you have started eating? You start your eating journey. You started eating from 6 a.m. 12 midnight, you drop the spoon. You can't live in victory like that, my friend. You can't. Honestly, you can't. Believe you me, you can't. One of the ways the church started opening up was when the Lord met me and started telling me that, listen well, start fasting. It's even these days now, I've even reduced it a bit. Then usually from every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm on fasting. For so many years, is in recent time, when it looks like my health was being affected, you know, I had to reduce a bit. People think that what is happening at a life church is by mistake. No. Listen, it's not by chance. And there are many of you, your victory is 6 days fasting away. I'm telling you now. That you give yourself to these 6 days. By the time the 6 days is finishing, the kind of testimony that will open up in your life, you will look at yourself and ask yourself, wow, so this has been here all along. This is not the week to pack lunch box. Some of you, your lunch box is as heavy as, you know, you just pack the thing. This one, you have layers. Man, what kind of a life is that? You have layer one, layer two, layer three. When you're carrying your lunch box, it looks as if, you know, you are Mr. D. Your lunchbox is as big as Mr. D. And you want to be powerful. You can't. You can't. One of my mentors so many years ago, one of my mentors who left fasting, started preaching his own thing. Started talking his own jargon. Left fasting. The church has died. The church, as it is, dead. Dead. I know that church. I swear, where the three, he used to have, now he has reduced to even to two. He used to have three services. I used to be there. Packed. You know, the building used to shake, honestly, by the multitude of crowd. Now, the place is empty. When he started teaching, you know, Jesus fasted for you, you know. one of the lies was that when you sleep in the night and wake up in the morning, that's fasting. That is why when you eat in the morning, it's called breakfast. So you have broken the fast. This is doctrine of devil. Can you see his demonic wisdom? That when you sleep in the night and wake up in the morning, you have been fasting. That is why they call the morning food breakfast. So you're breaking fast. You know what I did? I took my shoes, I clapped it together, and I ran. I knew that if I follow this one, the call of God on my life will die. Be careful of such lies. Be very careful. They are all over social media. Be very careful. Fasting empowers you. If fasting is that useless, why are witches fasting? I hope you know witches fast. Why are witches fasting? If it's that useless, why do they engage in that exercise? Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. You know, I heard a story. I don't know how true this is. How? So many years ago. I don't know how true this is, but I'm just relating the story where I heard it. So many years ago, in a particular nation, the witches converged together and went on, I think, is it 21 days or 30 days fasting? Their fasting was that the marriage of the pastors must scatter in that nation. They went on that long fast. The pastors God allowed them to hear the information. Guess what the pastors did? They took just, you know, fasting breakfast for 3 days. They took 3 days fasting. Not even full fasting. Breakfast, they were just breaking fast. They will fast till 12 noon. By the time the witches finished that journey, top pastors in the land, their marriages began to scatter. Divorce began to flow like a river among pastors. Divorce everywhere. In fact, when you count 3 pastors, one has divorced his wife. All kinds of things began to happen to pastors. It started with the top pastors. All their marriages began to fall apart. And most of them never recovered. Some of them end up marrying 2-3 wives, returning back to the first wife again, going back to just all kinds of madness. But the witches took 21 days because they know, strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So they went for the marriages of the pastor, because they know when a pastor's marriage is not together, he can't function in ministry. And the pastors heard it. God allowed them to hear the story. They only just break fast. 12 noon, they will finish fasting. And all of them till today never survived that thing. That's how powerful fasting is. I want you to lift your voice as we go home. Thank the Lord for these 6 days. Thank Him. Thank Him because you are not going to be left behind. None of us will be left behind on this journey. Lord, we give you praise this morning. Lord, we celebrate you. Lord, we magnify you.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.